listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Tiffany Manor.
It is Mental Health Monday. We are going to dig into Martin Luther on mental health with Dr. Saunders in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
We are going to dig into Martin Luther on mental health, practical advice for Christians today from Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Saunders is a professional clinical psychologist and very pleased to offer ideas and suggestions about mental health and mental health problems in this series. However, one of his most important pieces of advice is to get professional help when you need it. Nothing said in this episode or in future episodes should be taken as therapy or a treatment or as a substitute for personal consultation with a professional. Dr. Saunders, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you very much.
We are looking forward to talking more about Martin Luther on mental health. We've been talking about helpful conversations and preparing for helpful conversations. What's our role, either as a church work professional or as laity? What is our role? What should we be prepared for? So let's start with pastors and church workers. What's the scope of what a pastor or church worker might be able to offer when it comes to someone experiencing a mental health problem?
I think there's a lot that a pastor, church worker, deaconess, teacher can offer someone experiencing emotional distress or a mental health problem. There's a lot they can offer. Last episode, last week, we talked about just having a helpful conversation that is so helpful. It's such a relief to people to understand that others can understand and care about what they're going through. And that's the least that any of us can do. Now, church workers, ministers probably can take it even a bit further. They can invite someone into their office and give them, actually, I think there's two things. There's two options that I think are two paths that a pastor or church worker might take. The one is, and which path is really going to be determined by, well, how serious, if it's a serious enough problem, the obligation is probably to suggest to someone that they need to see a mental health professional, by which I mean they need to see it because I'm not qualified to help with this. I use the analogy of someone comes in and says they have heart disease. First thing pastor, deaconess ought to say is, well, who's your doctor? And if they say, well, I'm not seeing a doctor, of course you're going to say, well, you have to see a doctor. There's, you know, this is beyond my capacity to help. So, but that starts with, you know, understanding the severity of the problem. And so listening empathically, you know, and figuring out, for example, how serious is this? On a, you know, how depressed are you? You know, someone who says, you know, I've been very sad lately about this, maybe not so depressed. Someone who can't stop crying, you know, probably fairly seriously depressed. And depending on that, the role of a pastor might be to offer, the role of a church worker might be to insist on, maybe even have a couple of conversations about what mental health care means and how to find a mental health professional. Or maybe to actually meet with the person if the problem is not too serious, too difficult, to continue to have conversations and point out to the person stuff we talked about in previous week, point out to the person, you know, how you're thinking about things is probably not realistic. You know, it seems to me your wife does love you. You know, you guys are having some difficulty, but for you to say that you're unlovable or she doesn't love you or this is impossible, you're not thinking about this correctly. Likewise, to give simple advice of, you know, you're depressed, it's not too serious, but, you know, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you did something for fun? You know, Luther did that all the time with people. He said, you must go out and have fun. maybe most famously for me anyway, he said, go out and sin a bit, just to spit in the eye of the devil, you know, go do some sinful, fun thing, you know, just to show the devil that you're not afraid and that you know that Christ has died for your sin. That's not me. I don't ever encourage people to sin, but that was what Luther said. So, but it really is, you know, I summarize this advice as probably if it's a serious enough problem, then it's going to take a long time to recover, as in meaning weekly sessions with a mental professional that might go anywhere from half a year to several years. And, you know, if you think about child abuse, for example, an adult who experienced child abuse needs a lot of psychotherapy and counseling to overcome that. Pastors, deaconesses, church workers probably don't have the time, literally the time to do that, much less the expertise to guide the person through their journey of recovery. But they still have a very important role, however, even when they refer someone out for professional care. But if the care is going to last more than, what would we say, maybe 4 or 5 meetings, then it's probably the purview. It probably falls under the need of an outside counselor.
Are there specific situations? I know you've provided us some benchmarks, but are there specific situations that fall under the scope of a mental health professional while somebody is also receiving spiritual care from a church worker? Some situations that really warrant mental health professional being referred to a professional.
Yeah, we'll start with the comment that you made, while being provided ongoing spiritual care. So pastors, church workers, we don't refer out and then ignore someone. We continue to provide them spiritual consolation, spiritual care. Mm-hmm. That's the job. That's the call. That's the duty, the responsibility. But you also don't want a mental health professional touching that. You know, you don't want a mental health professional talking to a member about their spiritual life, because chances are pretty good the person is not Missouri Synod Lutheran and probably does not agree with a lot of what we believe. So just wanted to grab that thing that you said in the middle and point that out. We always continue, these pastors, ministers, deaconesses, teachers, continue to, you know, provide that spiritual consolation. Your distress does not mean that God is angry at you or that your faith is weak. Specific situations, well, there are quite a few. We have the illnesses that require medication. Persons with schizophrenia, persons with bipolar disorder, what we used to call manic depression, they need to be on medications on a regular basis. Persons with very severe depression would probably benefit from an antidepressant. You know, but other cases, if ever there's an issue of violence between a man and a woman, usually almost always from men directed towards women, that is well beyond what a church worker can do. There's a whole series, you know, LCMS has a packet on that particular situation and what pastors can do, you know, to be helpful there. We need to be, you know, a pastor or church worker needs to be very careful about maintaining safety while getting the person into proper counseling or proper care. Severe depression, anything related to pretty severe trauma, motor vehicle accident could be pretty severe. Losing a limb, seeing a loved one die. These are all things that are, you know, fairly traumatic and probably probably need the care of a mental health professional. But for example, seeing someone die, certainly a mental health professional could help, but we would also certainly want the church worker, the pastor, the deaconess, the teacher to stay involved with helping the person understand, you know, something like, you know, how could God allow this to happen?
We're talking with Dr. Stephen Saunders, professor of psychology at Marquette University and author of Martin Luther on Mental Health, Practical Advice for Christians Today. We'll continue the conversation on Mental Health Monday here on the Coffee Hour in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Tiffany Manor.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Tiffany Manor.
We are talking with Dr. Stephen Saunders, a distinguished professor of psychology from Marquette University and author of Martin Luther on Mental Health, Practical Advice for Christians Today.
Dr. Saunders, we were talking about the church workers' involvement when someone is having a mental health problem and also that of the mental health professional. I wonder about the other aspect of the Christian life, the congregation, right? What can congregations do that can be helpful to caring for people with mental health problems?
Yeah, wonderful question and wonderful, you know, opportunity. Congregations have such a great opportunity to, almost do more than a pastor or church work can do on an individual basis. And I'll take us back to, you know, the conversation about, you know, from last week we ended with, you know, that the proper attitude is to realize that mental health problems are similar to medical or physical problems. No one wants them. But there's some sort of a weird attitude that we have as a society have towards mental health problems. You guys have heard some things said about persons with depression or anxiety, or about a family with a child with severe autism disorder, or, you know, that the adult child who, you know, yells out in the middle of church. So some of the negative things that you've heard otherwise sensible people say, do you guys have some examples of that you could share?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Examples? I mean, thinking back to the last conversation we had about this and people thinking that it's that a mental illness or a mental health problem is the consequence of the result of someone's failure to do something, think things as silly as, oh, he didn't get enough recesses, you know, he didn't get enough PE classes or something like that, or they fed him the wrong things when he was, you know, when he was a young child. I know some of those are sort of absurd, but not far from things that I've heard or even thought myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've certainly heard people, you know, to add on to what Andy was saying, that something that the parents did, you know, if it's a young person, you know, say anyone under the age of 30, how do they parent incorrectly? That's you know, the conversation that goes around. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's in a preventative thought of like, let's make sure that other people don't do this, but still it can really be harmful and challenging.
Or the like, why can't they just get better aspect of it too? Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, the implication is that there was some cause, something that someone did wrong, maybe the parent, maybe the person, that has led to this. And we do this with medical problems as well. I mean, I don't know if we still do this, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard and over the years learn someone that, you know, oh, did you hear Linda has been diagnosed with cancer? And the typical first question out of someone's mouth is, oh, did she smoke? Or, you know, some way of implying that, well, this is because of something the person did. I think we've gotten away from that a little bit with medical problems, but we still endorse that. We engage that type of thinking with regard to mental health problems, as if mental health problems, depression, anxiety, you know, as long as you're strong enough, as long as you run quickly enough, as long as you dodge things that are thrown your way, you won't have depression. You won't have anxiety. Persons with depression, anxiety, the family with the adult child with severe autism or cognitive impairment, what we used to call mental retardation, they know that others think these things. And they know that others, you know, are uncomfortable around them. So what can churches do? Well, the opposite of that. You know, we can, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunities for churches to do lots of things. The primary goal, the primary, you know, back to the, you know, last week, the helpful conversation, what can the church do to be helpful as a community? Well, send the message, explicitly send the message. We know you're here. Because a lot of persons, you know, everyone knows all the members of the church who are going through cancer treatment or who are in the hospital or have had this accident or going through something. But mental health problems, we don't necessarily know who they are because they don't tell us. They don't tell us because they're not sure how we'll react. Demonstrate how the church, your church, will react. Communicate. We know you're here and you are welcome here and we love to hear your story. So how do you do that? Well, here's a thought, which is, you know, put in the bulletin every week that the Lutheran Counseling Services, this is the number if you're experiencing depression, anxiety, or simply want to talk to someone. You could have pastors. I would hope that every pastor has as part of their prayer that we pray for those experiencing emotional distress. How many churches actually do that? I would hope that all would. I sincerely doubt that all do. But the person sitting in the pew who is told no one she suffers from depression hears pastors say, we pray for those with cancer, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so. We also pray for those with depression, anxiety, suffering from trauma, suffering from abuse as a child, however the pastor wants to put it. There's some wonderful prayers out there already. Do a Bible study on what David went through, what Moses went through when Moses begged God, you know, if you're going to keep afflicting me with these Israelites, just kill me now. You know, this is something that is right in the Bible. What does it mean? Bible studies on what it means to have emotional distress. Having someone come in, someone like me, a local mental health professional to talk about, being careful there. We do need to talk about how to find mental health professionals that will be respectful of our faith. But finding a mental health professional who will come in and give a talk about how common it is and about treatment and about how effective treatments are. So last, maybe be sure that there are no jokes about mental illness. Try to avoid words like crazy and insane. You know, train the elders, the ushers about, you know, how are we as a church going to think about and talk about mental health issues? Gently scold or reprimand people who do make cracks or jokes or who question, why don't they just get over it? Why don't they, I wonder what they did wrong that they are going through this. So many things that I think churches can do. Again, to repeat, I think potentially even more important than individual counsel that a pastor might, or a deaconess or teacher might be able to provide.
There's so many good ideas that you've shared with us for the church workers, for congregations, congregation members, you know, the normalizing mental health problems. You know, I think about how we are really quick to take a meal, a casserole, a hot dish to someone who is struggling after surgery, or if we know that they're ill. Do we do that for people who are depressed or experiencing other mental health problems? You know, so some things we could think about as the body of Christ. I also wonder, you know, as we're seeking to improve in this, if there's any, I don't know, education, training, any national organizations that you could recommend that congregations could reach out to provide resources, support, that so that they can do better as a congregation.
There are many, probably every, you know, semi-large city has a branch of the National Alliance for Mental Illness, or NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, and they have speaker bureaus, or they have speakers that will come out and talk with people. You know, since we know, I'm going to kind of turn this on its head a little bit. Since we know that in a church of 200 people, 40 persons are experiencing mental health problem right now, 40 others have recovered or have some experience with it, I think there's probably in every church untapped resource for, you know, what can be helpful and how do we understand. Again, you know, need to be careful because, you know, we want to make sure accurate information is gotten out there. But if a church were to create a task force or a, you know, an ad hoc committee on how do we care for those in emotional need in our church. Not aware of any church, my church doesn't have it, not aware of any church that does that. But, you know, these are persons that are in the church who could explicitly, knowledgeably from experience say, this is helpful, this is not, this is hurtful. When people say this, it's helpful. When they say that, it's not helpful. And ideally, you know, then perhaps we'll have that type of resource at some point in the future within Missouri itself. No, we're getting there. I will say that I think the Missouri Synod is ahead of the game compared to a lot of church bodies in terms of, Mental Health Monday on KFUO is wonderful. I don't know how many churches have something like this trying to educate and reduce the stigma about mental health problems and mental illness and encourage people to be more understanding and compassionate and loving, you know, as we want to be, as we strive to be.
We got about 1 minute left to bringing this full circle, wrapping this up. As people in the congregation, why is it important for us to understand the distinctions and the differences between the scope of a pastor and a mental health professional? If I am neither of those, why is it important for me to understand that distinction?
It's important to understand because that they have different areas of expertise and responsibility. That the mental health professionals have expertise that is needed. And again, you know, medical doctors' expertise kind of goes without saying. You're not going to go to just anyone for treatment of diabetes or depression. I go to a doctor for treatment of my diabetes. My pastor actually has diabetes himself, so he's actually is sort of a good resource for me. But just as an informal, you know, sharing experiences. But we don't want, you know, we don't go for our spiritual care there, and they're both so important. And we do distinguish them. we distinguish between depression, anxiety, and spiritual distress. They certainly influence each other. You know, someone who is spiritually distressed, unsure that God loves them, they need the counsel of their pastor, of a church worker, of their friends in the church. Someone with serious depression, anxiety, or another mental health problem, they still need that. But like the cancer patient needs the consolation from her pastor about what God is doing and where God is and how is God allowing this to happen, she needs that from her pastor, but she also needs to be going to an oncologist, a specialist in the treatment of cancer. So we realize both, and we don't rely on medical, mental health professionals for our spiritual care. And to some extent, we can offer great emotional care, consolation, helpful conversations, compassion, empathy. We can offer that to people in our church, but that only takes a person with serious mental illness. It only helps so much. After that, they need to consult with a professional.
Our guest today, Dr. Stephen Saunders, Schneider Endowed Distinguished Professor of Psychology at Marquette University and author of Martin Luther on Mental Health, Practical Advice for Christians Today from Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Saunders, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it greatly.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Tiffany Manor.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.